church, which we left this morning to come here. It is a great privilege to share with you this morning. I do feel that God has given me a word to share with you. And I'll explain a little bit later in my preach how that came about. But needless to say, what I'm preaching this morning was not what I prepared at the time of Thursday evening when God spoke to me about not preaching what I spent the whole week preparing. But that's good. That's how God works, right? So, let me start with a story. When I was a little bit younger, I was part of a Pentecostal church plant. Now, this was in the 80s, and Pentecostal churches were quite wild and vibrant in the 80s, right? Our pastor was quite a dude. He wore cowboy boots to church every Sunday. He had this pretty majestic mustache and kind of an afro thing going. It was a real deal, okay? And like all church plants, his wife did worship. Now, I was trying to think of a good way to put this. Her heart was in the right place. But you know, she could play guitar and she led us in worship and it was awesome. And I just remember hearing some songs, and it's so weird, I was like 10 or 11. But some of those songs have stuck with me my whole life. Like, I just remember them. You know, I think of the modern worship songs and many of them don't appeal to me. But when I think of these songs, man, there's something inside of me that just stirs. And there's a song that stood out to me as, it felt like it was quite ancient in many ways. And as a 12-year-old, I couldn't figure it out. And some of you might know this song. So sing along with me, okay? Because I'm going to sing this song as I remember it. I seem to be singing a lot from the pulpit lately. So, okay. So if you're ready, you can sing with me. It goes like this. As a deer panted for the water, so my soul longeth after thee.
You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
David creates is quite a vivid one, right? It's of a deer who's panting and longing after water. You kind of get the idea that maybe there's a hunt. It would have been a good metaphor for David to use in that time. There's a hunt, and this deer is running for its life. Or maybe this deer has wandered off into a dry, arid desert region and it's looking for water. Okay, it doesn't just say the deer is looking casually for a drink of water. He says, no, the deer is panting after this water. It's almost like this deer's very life and the next move that it makes depends on it finding water. In fact, it feels like it's find water or faint. And then David goes on to say that just like the deer, in a desperate state that is longing to be filled, David himself, his soul is longing after God. He is desperate to be in God's presence, to worship Him, to sing, to rejoice. But he can't. And in a sense, his thirst is not quenched. He even goes on to say, but why so downcast my soul? My soul thirsts for God, the living God. And these words challenge us. Well, they should challenge us, because if we ask ourselves, when was the last time that we thirsted after God? When I was writing this sermon, I was literally in tears. I was like, God, I don't know. When did I thirst so much that I needed to have you right then? And was my soul so desperate to be in your presence? We really thirst. And if we don't get God now, just as those people came to the front, if they didn't get God now, how would I carry on? Interesting fact is the body can go without water for 3 days. Okay, you know that? Plus, minus. The survivalists will tell me otherwise. But the body, the physical body, can go without water for 3 days. And yet sometimes I think we can go for weeks without even being thirsty after God. We can become spiritually dehydrated. We become limp and lethargic, all the while forgetting that we have access always to streams of living water. And the tragedy, this is the biggest tragedy, that the more we quench the Spirit, we can utterly forsake God. I was just on the drive here, just thinking through this, going, man, the Holy Spirit is so gracious. He's so kind. He says, hey, come and drink. Come and drink. Stream a little more. Come and drink. And we so often go, like, I don't want to now. Until we get to the point where the Holy Spirit's going, it's there. I'm not going to tell you anymore. If we aren't quenching our thirst for God often, we run the risk of quenching His Spirit. Isaiah 2:13 says this, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. When we stop thirsting, something dies, and we start to replace it with cisterns. I've seen it in the life of my own church. I'm a pastor, I need a church. God is very gracious with me. I'm not the best leader in the world. But I see when I start putting too many systems in place, I've lost touch of what God is doing. I'm building things on my own strength. I'm not desperate enough for God and what He's doing. So we can start building things. We can have lots of programs, right? And it can sound like church and it can look like church. And I think finally we begin to think that this is what church is, right? These things that we put in place to look like church. And we've lost the thirst for the Holy Spirit and for what He's doing. We could run meetings for years and it'll look like church. But if God's not there, my first thing for it. It's just a meeting. Now I think, to be honest, and I don't want to be too harsh, I think a lot of the denominational churches, I think of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, man after God's own heart, man filled with the Spirit. And I look at the Methodist Church now, and it's just not the same. We've lost the hunger and the thirst enough for things of God. And again, I say that very cautiously. I don't want to paint any other church with a brush. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I repent. You can replace things of God with social action, church states, committees. And these things, in a sense, aren't bad. Like, systems aren't bad. I'm not saying come to church every Sunday and just wait and see what happens. Right? Some weeks it could work, some weeks we'll just be like, okay, what's actually happening here? Like, it's just a little bit weird, a little bit random. Okay. I'm not saying that. Sometimes we need systems, we need structure in a church. But we can replace living water with dead buildings. Okay, this is just a building. It's concrete. It's what happens in this meeting that is life. Okay, there's no life in this building. Church, be thirsty. And there's a famous story in John 14. Sean actually mentioned it when he was talking now, but it's the story of the Samaritan woman, right? And we all know it. Well, most of us who've been in church for any length of time will know the story. I'm going to read it to us quickly, just so we're on the same page. So when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And she says, "You are a Jew," said the woman. "How can you ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who is asking you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman replied, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then will you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give you will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give him will become to him a fount of water springing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not get thirsty and have to keep coming back to draw water." Right, and there's something about this woman's response that is very telling. Jesus is talking about living water and he's explaining to what it is, and the response immediately is, "Sir, give me this water." This woman that Jesus meets at the well, essentially an outcast, right? Married multiple times, living with a man who's not a husband, is coming to the well in the heat of the day because she's not welcome there any other time. Comes to this well and meets Jesus. And she comes physically thirsty. She comes to draw water, but actually, the thing that's really thirsty is her soul. Because like many people out there, she's broken. And she comes to the menial task to get water, but actually there's something inside of her. When Jesus says to her, "I'm living water," there's something he goes to her, "I need that. Because my life is a wreck. I need what you're telling me. Where can I get this thing? I need it." Okay, I don't actually think, if you read the passage in context, I don't think she maybe fully gets what Jesus is saying, but something inside of her says, "Give me this water. Give me this life. Give me this life that you speak of." And the point is this. There are people in this area and the areas around you that are thirsty. Their lives are like deserts and they are desperate for relief. Many people wander aimlessly through this life. And we can see it. We know Jesus. We know the end goal, right? But there are people who wander aimlessly through this life, just filling their lives with distraction until the day that they die. Think about it. I mean, for many people, life is just a whole series of events and then you die. And just as Jesus offered the woman at the well living water, so should we. John 7:38 says this, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water shall flow from within." Whoever believes in me, that means everyone here who believes in him, streams of living water will flow from within you. Do you believe that? Streams of living water. And as you meet and as you cry out and as you drink from him, these streams will flow from you and flow from this building. Matt mentioned it as well. The place where streams of living water will flow from. And what may look like a hole from the outside actually becomes a fountain of living water to the culture around you. Is that how you see church? A well, a place of living water where the thirsty and desperate, dehydrated souls can come and receive living water. Because there are, there's thirsty, desperate, lost, confused, dehydrated people. And thirsty people are drawn to living water. There's no shortage of them. Oh, that they would come and drink. Just as we would drink ourselves at the leaders' meeting. So my question for you is this. When this church meets, are you desperate for God like David was? Are you thirsting after the things of God? When you read David's Psalm 42, there's a desperation there inside of him. He's not content until he finds God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When you come to the prayer meeting in the morning, is the cry of your heart to meet with him? Or are you just going to the prayer meeting? In worship, are you so longing to meet with him and pour your praise out on him? Because he'll meet with each one of you individually if your heart so longs for him. Are we desperate for him? Because if we are, he will come. Now, while preparing this preach, as I said earlier, I asked God if it was the right thing to preach. I had spent the whole week preparing a preach on the kingdom of God, the now and not yet. It took me a long time to figure it out. And I really did. I put a lot of time into that preach. And as I said, Thursday evening, I felt God tell me, "You're not going to preach this preach." Which as a preacher is always like, okay, cool. That's fantastic. Now what? And this is not something I do often. So when I tell you the story, don't think that it's something that it's a pattern or model. It's not. But I think it's something of God's providence towards us as people and as a church. So I read from Charles Spurgeon's morning and evening devotional. It's a good one. If you haven't read it, I love it. And I was in my room and my glasses were off, and when I wake up in the morning I can't really see very well. And I picked up this book. And I think this is miraculous. Okay. I wouldn't suggest this as a model for hearing from God. I picked up this book and I was like, God, I kind of feel that I need to preach Psalm 42. Is this what you're saying? And I picked up the book and I literally, I just flipped it open randomly. I didn't look for anything. I went, okay, God, I'm open. I didn't even say that. I just opened the book. I was like, okay, God, I mean, if you want to speak to me, that'd be amazing. And I looked through kind of bleary eyes and to get my glasses. And the first thing that I read, and the first page that I looked at was this. Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. Now I believe that what God is saying to the church, but I even feel more specifically that's what God is saying to this church. Don't settle for a good meeting. His promise is that he will pour out the water of his spirit on those who are thirsty. Just come thirsty. Really. Every Sunday, wake up and go, God, I'm thirsty for more of you. I want to meet with you desperately. And I believe even today, you're seeing something of what God's done in this place. He's poured out his spirit, and I hope that he does more. I'd love to do a time of just spending some time in God's presence. Let me end with a story quickly. In Muesenberg recently, 2 weeks ago, we had a prayer meeting. It was a good prayer meeting. And just after the prayer meeting, I felt stirred to share something. And I felt something of, are we desperate to meet with God? Is there something inside of us that really wants to meet with him this evening? And Keith mentioned that he'd been listening to a song, Breathe, by Michael W. Smith. And then he sang that song in the prayer meeting, I'm Desperate For You. And we went into the meeting. And went into worship, and Michael Yujabe was there, and it was awesome. And worship was good. It felt like God was doing something. It felt like the Spirit was there, but it felt like people were desperate for God to do something. And I kid you not, Michael wasn't even in the prayer meeting. The minute he sang that song, I'm Desperate For You, and he said to me, I hadn't actually planned to sing it, just I put it in last minute. The minute that song started, I mean, you can ask, people started manifesting in the best way possible, right? People saw freedom, chains were broken, because there was something of God. If you're not going to do it now, you have to do it now. Like, there's no other time but now. God, we're thirsty, do please. And the minute, I'm dead, screaming. It's like, yes, there's a meeting, you're like, come on. And that's what he wants to do in our meetings. Church, are you thirsty for more? Does your soul long after God? I pray that it does. I actually want to ask if you've listened to this preach, you've listened to this sermon, and there's something inside of you that's going, just as David said, my soul longs after you. God, I need streams of living water to be flowing from me. Maybe you've become dry. Maybe you've lost touch with the source. Maybe it's just like, God, I need more. I still need more of you, God. I'm going to ask you if you can stand with me. I'm going to pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for your church. Thank you that it's through your church that the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers. And God, thank you for your people. God, I pray for this church in Gordons Bay, and I pray for everyone who stood up, Father God, that they would not be satisfied until they've drunk of you deeply, Father God. I pray that as they come here on a Sunday morning, they'd be so desperate for more of you, Father God. That they would have spent time in the week just seeking you, God. Finding your face, Father God. When they come here, Lord Jesus, that they would drink so deeply of what you do, Father God. God, give them a supernatural thirst for more of you, Lord Jesus. More of the things of the Spirit, Father God. I pray that as they are desperate for more of the things of the Spirit, Father God, that they would see things happening in this congregation again. We're not special. There's nothing about us that is special. But God, you're moving in this place because we so desperately need you to, Father God, that people would be drawn to this church, drawn to this hall, Father God. That the thirsty in Gordon's Bay and Somerset West and Strand, wherever they are, would come to this place, Father God, and they would taste of something that they haven't tasted, like the woman of the well. And they would taste living water, Father God. And their thirst would be instantly and miraculously quenched, Father God. And they would know, this is life. This is life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for everyone in this place that streams of living water would flow from them, Father God. You say in your word that if we are believers and we believe, streams of living waters would flow from within us, Father God. And I pray that everyone would have those streams flowing from them, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. That people in this congregation would drink deeply of you, Father God. Drink deeply, Father. Drink deeply, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Make us a generation so desperate for more of you, Lord Jesus. Make us a generation so desperate, God. God, give us the capacity to spend hours in your presence, Father God, and still not be satisfied because we want more, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Gordon's Bay, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, that your spirit would be in this place, God. Thank you that you would move powerfully in the name of the church, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And then, just as I finish this morning, as I read my devotional, it said this. Revelation 22:7. It says, whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now, for many of us, we've done that, right? We've taken the water of life free. And I don't know everyone in this congregation. I don't know everyone in this church. I've actually not met anyone from this church, except sure. Okay. But maybe you've come here today and you've gone like, I've heard what he's saying, but there's something about this living water that I haven't experienced. And what it says in Revelation is it says, whoever will, let him take the water of life free. That water of life is faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, take it, whoever will, take it free. And today I want to encourage you that if you have never surrendered your life to Christ, you've never known what this is, you've never gone like, Jesus, I need you now. More than I've ever needed anything else because I'm dry and I'm desperate. God's saying, come drink now, freely. Yes. And that involves a lot of things. It involves repenting from your sin, leaving your past life. Yes, that is the gospel. Repent, believe, be saved. And come and drink. If there is anyone here this morning who has never tasted of the Lord, the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And there's people in this world who can tell you who have tasted that God is good. If there is you, and you've never tasted of God, I'd like to pray for you. If you want to put your hand up right now, if you've never tasted of God and you want to, then I want to pray for you this morning. Okay. We'll come speak to me afterwards. I'll be here. And then for any of the Christians here, you've been a Christian for a while and maybe you feel you're a little bit dehydrated and you haven't drunk from the well of God for a while and you don't have streams of living water pouring out of you like I've just said. And you want that. Because that's our portion. Don't go around dehydrating thirsty. I want to pray for you quickly. If you want to stand up quickly, we can pray for you. If you feel like you need more of God, if you feel a little bit dehydrated, yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. But I'm standing up as well. I need more of Him. Britt, do you want to come play? Good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that sometimes we can neglect you, the well of living water. And even though we know you, Father God, we have intimate relationship with you, God, we can wonder. And we can stop drinking. We can lose our thirst in you. God, I pray for these precious saints as they stood up, God, that you would meet them, Father God. God, that you would quench the thirst that they have. And once again, streams of living water would flow from them to those around them, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your kindness, God. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you, Lord. So I've asked Brett to prepare a song for us. I wonder if we'd all stand and just sing the song together. And we're going to see what God wants to do.
This is my